Got to hear that song again. This has been a special morning with the installation of Rachel and also hearing from the search committee on the candidacy coming up for Daniel Jansen. So now you're probably sitting here wondering whether Epiphany is actually important enough to hear a sermon about. Well, you'll be able to make an informed decision when I'm done, because I'm going to elucidate, illuminate, and clarify by basically telling you everything you've always wanted to know about Epiphany but were afraid to ask. To start with, the word comes from the Greek word epiphaneia, which means disclosure, manifestation, or unveiling. It's like an aha moment, when suddenly something makes sense. Like how to get the DVD player synced with your TV and the other two remotes that you have in your hand. At its simplest level, Epiphany commemorates the appearance of the Magi, or wise men, from the East. However, that appearance signified much more than just three wise guys traveling a long way on camels to bring presents to a baby shower. It'll become clearer as I go along. Now, these magis were astrologers and interpreters of omens and dreams. One writer says that when they arrived in Jerusalem, their bluntness probably had King Herod spitting out his morning coffee when they asked, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Hearing about a new rival to the throne would have gotten King Herod's blood boiling. These visitors were like a blast from the past in Hebrew history. The book of Daniel tells how he and his companions spent 70 years exiled among Magi in the East. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon was in the habit of gathering the best and the brightest of those he had captured into an advisory body of wise men, stargazers, and dreamers. From that, we know that this type of career was common in those days. Tradition tells us that their names were Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchor, but we have no way of knowing if that was actually the truth. Then there's five other things that you may not know about these magi that a writer has compiled. First, the Gospel of Matthew doesn't actually say how many magi there were, and three became popular because of the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Kathy made reference to that in the children's story this morning. But some paintings in Christian catacombs have two or four. One ancient manuscript has a list of 12 magi with names, and other Christian writers imagine a whole army of magi. I find it simpler to just stick with three. Second, early Christians didn't agree on where the magi were from. The most popular answer was Persia, which is modern Iran. But others thought they were from Babylon or Asia, Arabia, or even as far away as China. Third, nobody knows what the Star of Bethlehem really was. Some early Christians thought it was an angel or the Holy Spirit. More recent theories include a comet or a supernova, which is the explosion of a star. Still others see it as a conjunction of Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, or the appearance of Venus at its most brilliant. Fourth, opinions differ about how long it took the Magi to reach Bethlehem. Based on Herod's asking of the Magi when the star appeared, coupled with his later command to kill all male infants under the age of two, many Christians thought that it took them up to 2 years. Some imagined a much faster journey of 12 days, based on the 12 days of Christmas between December 25th and the celebration of Epiphany on January the 6th. Still others believed in a tradition that the star itself carried the Magi to Bethlehem in the blink of an eye. I'll stay with a 2 years idea because I really like camel pictures. And then fifthly, a number of answers were proposed for how the Magi knew that a star signified the birth of the King of the Jews. Did they just look up one night and see the star and say, "Wow, looks like the King of the Jews has been born. Let's go see him." The best answer is that they must have encountered Hebrew writings and learned about the prophecy of Balaam, a prophet who predicts in Numbers 24:17 that a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. Okay, that's enough explanation about the Magi themselves. So let's go deeper into the actual meaning and significance of their coming. As I said earlier in a message, this was a dark world at the time of Christ's birth, and a good part of it was caused by the cruel shadow of the Roman Empire that hung over the Mediterranean world of that day. Winter is a time of shorter days and greater darkness, but this darkness didn't depend on the time of the year or the time of day. It had to do with political and spiritual climate that seemed to perpetuate loss and grief, broken dreams, and shattered hopes. Many in our world today can relate to those feelings, not the least of which are those on the other side of a wall in Mexico, at least the part where there is already a wall. Apparently there's more to come, depending on who you listen to. Back then in Israel, there were still people who clung to a hope for the future that their prophets had spoken about. There were still many faithful who believed in the coming of a Messiah who would deliver them from Rome, a Messiah who would throw off the yoke of their oppressor, deliver the poor and needy from their captivity, and restore their fortunes and bring hope once again. Now here's where I come to the center point of my message this morning. Along with the birth of Jesus, the coming of the wise men was a major piece in the puzzle on the road to believing that a new day had now dawned. Their coming was seen as a literal fulfillment of the prediction that nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. For the early Christians, the visit of the Magi was another sign that the light was dawning in the darkness. And this was huge. It made the birth of their Messiah a global event, and not just national. Then there's another factor about the visit of the Magi that's significant to take note of. These men were all pagans. They're what have been called heathen Gentiles. They had no connection with the Jewish people, their prophets, or their hopes in a Messiah. And yet, according to the text in Matthew, they come from afar to pay homage to Mary's child as they bowed down and worshipped him. This is the real key, and what makes Epiphany so important. The worship by the Magi illustrated that this Messiah wasn't just for the Jews. He didn't just come for the shepherds or for the people of Israel. Rather, he came for Jews and Gentiles, for all the people of the world, which meant that he came for you and I. The aha moment of Epiphany is about unveiling what Advent promises, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God, and that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. With the coming of the Magi, the whole world was brought into the story of Jesus, for God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Let me look at things another way. I don't know about you, but I've always enjoyed fairy tales. As a child, I had a few books that I would read over and over. And I liked how at the end, everyone lived happily ever after. I was reading a book recently that mentioned pastor and author Frederick Buchner. He tells that the reason fairy tales are so loved and universal is that they tell us what we most need to know about life. They tell us that things are often not what they seem. An ugly frog is really a prince. The lovely stepmother is in fact a witch. They tell us that there is another world that this world points to. They tell us that stepping into the wardrobe, or falling down a rabbit hole, or rubbing a lamp suddenly introduces a new reality. In fairy tales, people awake from an enchanted sleep, and their whole world may be new and different. Ebenezer Scrooge awakens to the pain of his miserly past and the possibility of a generous future. It can even happen in real life. Bill Wilson, in Akron, Ohio, in 1935, woke up one day to the reality that he was a hopeless addict and founded Alcoholics Anonymous, an organization that has brought hope to literally millions of people over the years. People wake up to God, and that's what happens in the Bible. A fugitive from Egypt named Moses sees a bush that he's passed maybe hundreds of times before, but this time it's on fire. He turns aside and hears the voice of God, and the course of his life is changed forever. The story of the Bible is like a fairy tale because it points us to another deeper reality. The difference from a fairy tale is that the story of the Bible is true. The things within it actually happened. When those magi came to Jesus, it illustrated that the prophet's message was being fulfilled, and that a light had indeed begun to shine in the world of Jesus. The fact that they had a part in welcoming him illustrated that God's focus was much wider than ours often is. He cares about the whole world, and his Spirit inspires new way of showing how inclusive that love is. Many of you know a pastor teacher named Doug Schultz, who is currently co-pastor at Grace Mennonite in St. Catharines, along with Dave Brubaker. Doug is also a poet and a dreamer, in a good sense of those words. He had a vision for people working together to accomplish good things, and he has friends across a wide circle. In the late fall of 2016, he started an organization called Bridge of Hope. And this isn't their actual logo, but I found these words on the net. One of the goals was to work together to sponsor Syrian refugees, as that's currently one of the world hotspots. With the Grace Church having more elderly people, he knew that they couldn't be as hands-on in committee work, but they could be a good source of funding. He had relationships with others, and so with the Pelham Quakers, he got them involved, and the St. Catherine's Mosque, because people there would know the language and the culture of the Syrians. Currently, the Niagara Falls Mosque and the Beamsville United Church are also involved in Bridge of Hope. So five diverse groups. So what has been accomplished in the past 2 years since they started? They have together sponsored five Syrian families for a total of 26 people. And more sponsorships are planned for 2019. Their organization is also looking at ways to address issues of indigenous settler relationships, as well as social housing issues such as homelessness in Niagara. Doug writes, "We call this a seamless garment approach. The idea that if we're bringing new people to our country, we also need to address some of the pressing issues that are already here." End of quote. Last summer, Pam and I were at a potluck picnic for Bridge of Hope supporters at Tom Neufeld's farm near Vineland. And he took the group on a hayride, and we sat on the wagon with Muslims and Mennonites and others. And I noticed a man close to me who was live streaming this event with his phone back to his brother in the Middle East. And you could see the joy on his face as he shared the play-by-play action of the hayride. I doubt that this man would have ever ended up in a church service to hear me preach, or to listen to the choir, or that he would have come from our website. Yet here he was sitting next to Christians because someone had cared enough about him and his family to help him come to Canada. So what does this have to do with the Magi and Epiphany? It has everything to do with it. Just as those Magi connected the wider world with the coming of Jesus, so God's plan is that all people would know of his love in Jesus. Organizations like Bridge of Hope is one small way of bringing people together to illustrate our common care for one another in both lifestyle and faith issues. And that's just one example. Maybe one of you here is going to be the next person who has an idea that can make a difference in the lives of other people. Herod wanted to keep the status quo, keep people in darkness and bondage, and he ended up missing Christmas and creating even more heartache for the people under his control. In contrast, the Magi wanted to learn more of what this world was about, and they followed their magic arts, and they came in contact with the King of Kings in the process. God works in mysterious ways to further his kingdom, and his plan is to let the world know who he is and what is most important in this life. When the wise men finally got to meet the baby Jesus, they probably said, "Aha! We knew that that star meant something." They had an epiphany, an understanding or unveiling of what truth is. Well, this message may not have turned out to be everything that you always wanted to know about Epiphany. However, may God continue to lead us through stars and sunsets and mountains and valleys and books and music and people and whatever it takes to draw us closer to God and to his purposes for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that your message of love was for the whole world. Help us to be your ambassadors as we follow your leading day by day. Amen.
Please turn to page 32 in the purple books. O beautiful star of Bethlehem, and I'll ask you to stand when you're ready.